Well, it's truly a fascinating shift from my perspective, JJ, having been in this business since the early 1980s and certainly before 9/11. And then with the strategic strike on U.S. soil by the hijackers on 9/11, you certainly could see how our nation had to pivot in that direction. Having said that, you know, one of the things from an operational perspective I would be worried about would be, you know, what does this do for funding for example, FBI Joint Terrorism Task Forces, ongoing anti-terrorism assistance programs for the State Department overseas and so forth. So the devil's really in the details when it comes to budgets and resources.
How about the situation here domestically? Because we live in an era when domestic incidents appear to be much more intense, and the number appears to be rising. How do you think that'll impact that issue?
And that's a very interesting observation on your part, because in reality, it's been my experience that perception of the tempo and the pace and the target set is something that impacts not only local communities, but elected officials and certainly the Hill. So what degree of pushback would we see from the Hill, for example, along these lines? And then, you know, on a practical level, JJ, I think when you start thinking about, you know, what happens if you have another, God forbid, but Boston Marathon bombing or Chattanooga or San Bernardino or Pulse nightclub. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And will folks then say, well, are we doing enough? So, you know, I understand from a 30,000-foot level how you have national security priorities. And one could certainly argue that terrorism is a tactical problem, but it's also a very realistic problem that creates a lot of death and carnage at times if you don't have resources devoted to focus on it.
So as you see what your job entails, and you've been doing this for a while, and that is advising U.S. companies and organizations on how to approach the terror problem, what are you going to say to them now as a result of this change in posture by the government?
Steady state, meaning this is not a time to lower your defenses to, you know, the potential for active shooter cases, for vehicular rammings. You have to make sure that you still have robust programs and systems in place, you know, to counter these kinds of threats. You know, on a practical level, what it also takes is that partnership with your outreach program, with your Joint Terrorism Task Force, to make sure that you have good contacts there and you're taking advantage of those kinds of resources to help you protect your facilities and personnel.
There may be an absence of indicators, considering the fact that terror groups are going underground and going to essentially the dark world to do their communications. Do you fear that there may be a lack of credible information out there now to help predict what it is they're doing, especially since the government is sort of shifting its focus?
I'm optimistic that we have good process and procedures in place and staffing to continue to try to monitor those dark websites and so forth and chatter on the dark net with, you know, the resources that have been devoted to this problem for almost 20 years now, JJ. But I would be somewhat concerned if we're starting to see some indicators that budgets are going to be cut back along those lines or their staffing woes or their scuttlebutt, you know, that the FBI is going to step back a little bit from their joint terrorism task forces, which, you know, have been tremendously successful at least ferreting out plots here in the continental United States. I have to give the FBI their credit. You know, they've done a darn good job. And, you know, I think even at the end of the day that, you know, the politicians and the American public and the media, to be frank, you know, has unrealistic expectations that the FBI is going to be able to stop each and every attack. And that's simply not possible.
Fred Burton, Vice President of Intelligence at Stratfor. J.J. Green, WTOP News.